All right, away we go. Hour number three of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Getting right back into the NFL draft conversation and also the NFL free agency conversation, as that is almost upon us coming up next week with the new league year starting. So we know Matthew Stafford is staying with the Rams. We told you that. Deebo Samuel, he got traded, we knew, a year ago, right? That's when I first started speculating. I'm like, all right, they paid Ayuk, I think, a year from now. They're going to go trade Deebo Samuel. He goes to the Washington Commanders. I think that is low risk, high reward for pretty much a one-year deal, a fifth-round pick. I think that's a good job by the Commanders to start what could be an aggressive offseason for them. On the Myles Garrett front, the Cleveland Browns keep on saying we're not trading him. I will believe that when he is actually playing for the Cleveland Browns come week one of the NFL season. I do ultimately think he is going to get dealt. I did read some articles over the weekend, right, that, you know, the Bills, the Lions, the Eagles, that those seem to be the three teams most aggressive on the Myles Garrett front. Now, I haven't heard much about Kansas City yet. The Commanders will obviously be talked about. But when you look at the Bills and the Lions, I thought last week, right, some of the conversations and the articles were shifting those two teams away, right, with Brad Holmes saying it's going to be tough to do. But with that being said, or, you know, even some of the comments by Brandon Bean, it's one thing to say something, and then it's another thing to follow through with it. And I don't think it, right, helps you right now when the Browns keep on saying we're not trading him, to then go tip your hand and reveal that publicly. I would be very surprised if the Eagles don't make a strong push for Myles Garrett. I think the Bills and the Lions would be silly not to. And a team like the Commanders, you go get your cornerstone player on the defensive side of the ball when you already have your cornerstone player on the offensive side of the ball. And for Kansas City, why not at this rate? You could go make a big splash move that will make that team even better. So I still think he lands on one of those five teams, whether it's the Bills, the Lions, the Eagles, the Commanders, or the Chiefs. I feel as if Myles Garrett will get traded to one of those teams. Also, other stories that have emerged post the combine. Obviously, you have what happened just a few hours ago, T. Higgins getting slapped at the franchise tag. Now the question becomes, from now until July 15th, when is the deadline for tag players to reach a long-term deal with their current teams? Do you get a long-term deal done? Because if you don't, and T. Higgins has to play on the 26 point whatever million dollar tag number is for the second tag for him this year, then does T. Higgins actually play for the Cincinnati Bengals, or does he get traded somewhere else? So those are some things to monitor. But with Stafford being the domino to fall, and it all, right, it always all goes back to quarterbacks. Like, coming off the combine, what do we hear? Oh, the quarterback draft class is not that strong. And I still think that you will get two quarterbacks at the absolute latest go in the top six. Maybe two quarterbacks go in the top three, or maybe even the first two picks be quarterbacks. We'll get more to that in just a bit. But with Stafford staying put, I thought Stafford, out of the names that weren't via the draft, I thought Stafford, whether it was trade or whether it was free agency, I thought Stafford was the biggest name, because you could argue he is the sixth or seventh, probably at the worst, eighth best quarterback in football, if we're just being fair. So Stafford stays with the Rams. You had teams like the Raiders. You had teams like also the New York Giants clearly show interest. But ultimately, I don't think there was ever a team out there, maybe outside of the Steelers. And the Steelers, right, I guess they didn't really have any correspondence with him, that if they gave him the number financially that he wanted, that he could at least talk himself into it being an actual good destination. You know, Cleveland, the Giants, the Raiders. I'm not saying all these teams were in. You know, the Giants and the Raiders were. But if they're willing to give you $50 million a year, great. Do you want to end your career being the fourth team in the AFC West? Do you want to end your career with, at best, being the third best team in the NFC East, probably the worst team in the NFC East? When you have a team that was one touchdown away from taking down the Eagles in their house in snowy Lincoln Financial Field. And if you win that game, no disrespect to the Commanders, you're probably going to the Super Bowl. You're probably beating the Commanders. So there wasn't really a team out there that Stafford could view as better. And ultimately, we'll eventually find out what the numbers are. I don't really think Stafford had all that much leverage. So from a Rams standpoint, it made sense to bring him back. And from a Stafford standpoint, it made sense to stay with the Rams. But now, I'll be curious who people view as the next name that they're most intrigued by. From a recognizable standpoint, it is obviously Rodgers is the most recognizable name. But is Rodgers, at this stage of his career at 41, is he the most in-demand name on the market? Now, I'm going to assume from now until tomorrow, and I think the deadline for the tag is tomorrow, that Sam Darnold is not going to get tagged. I think there's intrigue on where Sam Darnold could go. Kirk Cousins right now is still part of the Atlanta Falcons. I think that will eventually change. So is Kirk Cousins going to be that next big name that's going to generate a lot of interest? Like, who is the next name that has a lot of sizzle? Sam Darnold, right? We talked about him, and you get to Kirk Cousins. I still think it's Rodgers. I do. Now, you could say, oh, well, what has Rodgers done the last 2 years? He's been hurt. He played well down the stretch last year, but the start was so just abysmal. And you look at the names that are out there, you know, Justin Fields, Russell Wilson, Sam Darnold. He had an unbelievable story. And then the last 2 weeks of the season, it went all down the drain. It really did. Terrible performance up against the Detroit Lions, and then a horrible playoff performance up against the Rams. Those two games at the end of the season, last week of the regular season, with the number one seed in the divisional line, and then the wild card game in the postseason, it kind of, all the good work that Sam Darnold did, all the stones that he unturned, all the non-believers that he made believers, right? It all went right out the window. So do I think Sam Darnold's going to get this crazy contract? No. Could he get a 3-year deal similar to Baker Mayfield money? I guess. But ultimately, I don't think he's going to be back with the Vikings unless there is no market for Sam Darnold. And right, like the Steelers say, you know what? We don't want Sam Darnold. We're going to keep either Justin Fields or Russell Wilson. You know, the Raiders say, we're going to go get our quarterback in the draft. The Browns, I don't think they're going to be giving out big money. They just got off the Deshaun Watson situation. If they're going to give money, it's going to be on a 1 or 2 year deal for like a Rodgers or for a Kirk Cousins. So you go through the names that are available. I think the most intriguing name is, where is Rodgers going to land? Like, I'm curious where Sam Darnold's going to go, but am I going to sit here and view whatever team Sam Darnold go to as a threat? No, I'm just not. I'm wondering what the ceiling could be for a Justin Fields, young quarterback. But we've been doing this song and dance the last 2 years. Russell Wilson, fine quarterback. I don't think he is that much of a difference maker anymore. But for Rodgers, where the heck is he going to go? And it's not necessarily he's going to go someplace and you're going to say, wow, they're a Super Bowl contender. But you always know what Rodgers is capable of. And also, is there a scenario that was thrown out to us last week where Aaron Rodgers could get the Bill Belichick treatment and get shut out? You know, is that a possibility that Aaron Rodgers can get shut out of this NFL offseason, and then that's a sad way that his career comes to a close? Because the way that Aaron Rodgers can have a little juice, right, have a little buzz, maybe you feel, okay, he's going to be decent next year. He, you know, could go to the playoffs. And Ty Dunn was the one that first threw out with us last week that there's a possibility that Belichick and Rodgers gets the Belichick treatment. But if Rodgers goes to the Steelers, I look at that and I say to myself, okay, right? That's a team, right? They made the playoffs last year with the combination of Justin Fields and Russell Wilson. Do I still think Aaron Rodgers entering 2025 is a better quarterback than Russell Wilson? I do. Do you think Aaron Rodgers is a better quarterback entering 2025 than Justin Fields? I do. Now, it doesn't mean that all of a sudden the offensive line issues are fixed in Pittsburgh, or George Pickens is now all of a sudden not going to become a head case, right? And probably Najee Harris isn't going to be back next year. And defensively, was last year just a one-time wonder where the defense didn't play well? Or is that now going to be that defense reaching the end of its road of being a really good defense in this league? But could the Steelers next year win a playoff game with Aaron Rodgers? The Steelers, by the way, haven't won a playoff game since 2016. You know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you no. But if the Steelers end up saying, hey, like what Caboli told us last week, he thinks it's going to be Justin Fields. And I could see why the Steelers do that. All right, what's really the game bringing in Rodgers? We just did the rust thing for a year. It was fine. But let's see if we go find their next franchise quarterback. Now, a lot of us could think, hey, Justin Fields isn't a franchise quarterback. That's fine. But Justin Fields with the Bears, the opportunity, you could blame it more on the Bears. This year, for whatever reason it was, they sat Fields even when he was winning games in Pittsburgh. So that still runs me the wrong way. You would do that, but now you're going to make him your starting quarterback. So I'm not sitting here saying that, hey, Justin Fields is going to go be some star. But look how long it took Geno Smith to put it together. Look how long it took Sam Darnold to put it together. And all both those quarterbacks needed was a better landing spot. So if the Steelers fully commit to Justin Fields, I'm not going to sit here and totally dismiss and say that it can't work out. But where Rodgers goes, I don't think any of us have a damn clue. I would like to see him in Pittsburgh, but if it's not Pittsburgh and the Rams, right, that was the idea. Oh, well, if Stafford gets traded, then Rodgers would just waltz right into the LA Rams, and that would be good. But if it's not the Steelers, and now we know the Rams are off the table, where the heck is he going to go? And I watched an interview last night that Adam Schefter did with Part of My Take. And this was before they knew that Stafford was definitely going back to the Rams. And they threw out a few destinations, right? Could you see him going to the Rams? Schefter said yes. Now we know that's not going to happen. He said, could you see him potentially going to the Raiders? He said yes. He said, could you see him potentially going to the Giants? He said yes. What about Tennessee with the Titans? He said no. What about the Browns? Could you see that? He said no. And I think there was one more other team out there. It was the Rams, which are off the board, the Raiders and the Giants, and I forget the other team. So if the options are, oh, maybe it was Pittsburgh, could have been the other one. But let's say he doesn't go to Pittsburgh. The Rams are already off the table. If that leaves you between the Raiders and the Giants, think about how that career ends for Aaron Rodgers. Stu, would you be fine for a year of Aaron Rodgers with the Las Vegas Raiders? I know we've talked about this before, but it really changes day by day. Hey, 2 months ago, I thought Shedeur Sanders was going to be the first quarterback off the board. Now I think without a doubt, it's going to be Cam Ward. So these could change week to week, month to month, or even day to day, hour to hour. In your fandom opinion, Rodgers to the Raiders on a one-year deal, you in or you out?
I am out. No, thank you.
Okay, because you don't think it does anything for the franchise for really this upcoming year?
No, and it's not worth the drama, honestly.
Okay, so that's the drama
yeah.
part of it.
There are other, I'd rather have Russ, I'd rather have Cousins, I'd rather draft a quarterback.
You don't think the difference at this stage of Rodgers' career is that bigger than Rodgers compared to Kirk, Rodgers compared to Russ, or even what it would do for the franchise, right?
No, maybe one win?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think so either.
Even if it gets you three more wins... Hey, let's say one of the Broncos or the... let's say the Broncos regress this year. Let's say maybe Bo Nix doesn't play as well as what he did last year, right? Broncos still need some more talent. I like Benito. I like Sertan, obviously. But let's just say the Broncos regress. Even if they're you then tell me, okay, the Broncos will finish fourth in the division. Just throwing it out there. If you then ask me, where do you put the Raiders? I'm still putting them third. If you tell me the Broncos finish fourth, even if you put the Chargers fourth and you say, hey, the Broncos and the Chiefs and the Raiders, who's going to finish third? Then it would be the Raiders. So the other thing is, I know it's different regimes, but the Raiders should have been in on Rodgers 2-3 years ago, and they weren't. So I think that ship has already sailed, and I still believe that Darnold's going to wind up. I think the Raiders, I don't know if you'll agree or disagree with this, I think it will either be Darnold in a 3-year deal, and they'll say, okay, Pete's on a 3-year deal. We'll match him up with Darnold. And maybe we have some outs in that deal if the Pete Carroll experiment doesn't work and the Sam Darnold experiment doesn't work as well. You front load the contract, and then the last year could basically be irrelevant. Maybe that's what it is. I think it'll either be Darnold for 3 or 4 max, or the Raiders are going to go get a quarterback in this draft. And I think Cam Ward's going 1, whether that's the Raiders trading up to 1. I think if the Titans are trading the pick, they're really going to only seriously discuss a deal getting done with the Browns and the Giants because it only pushes them back to 2 or 3 and still enables them to get a Travis Hunter or gets an Abdul Carter. So I don't think the Raiders are going to be able to get the Cam Ward situation done in a trade. But if Shedeur Sanders falls, where Cleveland passes up on him, the Giants pass up on him, which I still have a tough time seeing both those teams pass up on him, then Pats are 4, don't need a quarterback. Jaguars already committed to Trevor Lawrence. Then the Raiders could still get Shedeur Sanders. So that's where I'm at right now. I think it will either be Sam Darnold for 3 or 4 years on a contract, or they're going to find a way to go get Shedeur Sanders. Is that where you're at, too?
I agree. I also don't think Russ can be ruled out. I think Russ would be the third option of those three. But
even though it ended poorly with Pete, they reunited and they, you know, Russ realizes that I need Pete more than I thought I did.
Yeah, I think it'd be both sides. Like, Raiders wouldn't really have an answer unless they move back into the first to draft a quarterback, and Russ might just be without a team.
Can I just give you 3 mock drafts real quickly? So
sure.
This is we'll get to what the Raiders end up doing. So this is from Yahoo Sports. Cam Ward to Tennessee. Abdul Carter to Cleveland. The Giants, they end up taking Travis Hunter. So I guess there's a lot of Rodgers Giants speculation there. The Raiders then trade with my Patriots. That'd be good for the show. They get Shedeur Sanders. Jaguars Mason Graham. Patriots end up getting McMillan from Arizona. So that's a name, right? McMillan, last week we just talked about how one mock draft had him fall all the way to 20. Now this mock draft has him back in the top 6. Just shows you how stupid some of this stuff is. Now let's go to Lance Zierlein. So that is one Yahoo Sports saying Raiders Shedeur. Okay. Lance Zierlein, Cam Ward to Tennessee, Abdul Carter to Cleveland, Travis Hunter to the Giants. So Shedeur falling out of the top 3 in back-to-back mock drafts. Will Campbell, Patriots 4. Will Johnson to the Jaguars at 5. Shedeur Sanders to the Raiders at 6. So 2 mock drafts. Shedeur to the Raiders. Now let's see Ryan Wilson of CBS Sports. Cam Ward to Tennessee. Abdul Carter to Cleveland. Travis Hunter to the Giants. Kelvin Banks to the Patriots. Mason Graham to the Jaguars. Shedeur Sanders to the Raiders. So Stu, 3 different websites. NFL.com, CBS Sports, Yahoo Sports, all have Shedeur going to the Raiders. And the first person to predict Shedeur to the Raiders, and this was at the end of the draft last year, was your boy. I have a tweet. I just feel like Shedeur Sanders is going to be the next quarterback of the Raiders. I put it out there. And now I hear Yahoo Sports, NFL.com, and CBS Sports all have him going to the Raiders. It makes me think that Shedeur Sanders isn't going to the Raiders now.
Feels like it's possible. I still think he'll go.
You don't want to get your hopes up?
Yeah, I still think the Schefter-Browns thing is still in my head.
Right? Because how bizarre is that? Before the combine starts, Schefter is on his own podcast saying, I don't know what's going to happen at one, but the thing I'm most confident about is the Browns with their first-round pick. That's how he said it, with their first-round pick. So whether that's trading back, moving up, staying at 2, are going to take a quarterback. That's how I perceived it. So maybe Schefter went into this draft thinking that Tennessee was passing on Cam Ward. Or maybe he went in saying, even if Tennessee or another team moves into one, even if it's not the Browns, they take Cam Ward, then there's no doubt about it. Cleveland's going to take Shedeur Sanders at 2. And none of those mock drafts had Shedeur Sanders going at 2. And none of them even had Cam Ward now not even being the number 1 overall pick. So that's 3 mock drafts that all had Cam Ward going number 1. And then even Schefter, though, Cleveland is absolutely the thing he's most confident about in this draft, is going to take a quarterback. None of them had Shedeur Sanders going or a quarterback, period, going to Cleveland in the first 2 picks, though. That, you're right, when it's Schefter, if, no offense, if it was Jordan Schultz, if it was, I'm trying to think, other NFL, like, even I love James Palmer, right? James, we put him on the show all the time. This is not me just like going after Jordan Schultz or someone. I have no reason to go after Jordan Schultz, but he was in the news for a little kerfuffle that happened with Ian Rappaport. And even if it was a Mike Garofalo, right? Those guys are credible. Those guys get a lot of news items, but NFL words mean more when they come from Schefter, Rappaport, Pelissero, or Glazer. And the number one NFL insider said, it's his opinion, that the Browns will use their first-round pick on a quarterback, and no one had the Browns right there taking a quarterback from Yahoo, NFL.com, or CBS Sports. That's interesting to me, Stu. It does make you say, pause, hold up, what does Schefter know that all these other guys do not know?
Yeah, so that's why I'm still kind of cautiously optimistic, trying not to get my hopes up, but we'll see. Still
yeah.
A ways to go.
It wouldn't be the first time the Raiders get your hopes up.
Definitely not.
Knowing them, you right in the heart.
Knowing them, he'll slip to them and they'll still pass up on him.
So let's go around the room here real quickly. if we had to update our Rodgers predictions right now, because I think we did Shador. And I had Shador going to the Giants. Stu had Shador going to the Giants. And I think Samter had him going to the Jets. I think that's what it was when we did this. So for Aaron Rodgers, if we went around the room right now, where is he playing football next year? Stu, what's your first guess?
I'll say the Steelers.
You will say the Steelers. Samter?
The New York Football Giants.
Okay. I'm going to say the Steelers, but I could see Samter's being right because here's the thing for Joe Shane. And you know what? If a deal for the first overall pick gets done, and if it's the Giants trading up to one, I think it could happen within a week. Because the league year starts next year. Starts next week. That's when it starts. Joe Shane last year got shut out of getting his guy at the quarterback position. If you look back at the draft, right? They wanted Jaden Daniels, couldn't get Jaden Daniels. They couldn't get Drake May. Caleb went off the board one, and then they got shut out, and they had to run it back with Daniel Jones. So if you are going to address the quarterback in the draft, you can't just wait this year with your hopes that, oh, a quarterback's going to fall to three, even though that's a great possibility. So if the Giants are going to get a deal done for the number one overall pick, I think it could happen within this week. I really do. With the new league year starting next week. But if they do not get that deal done, you have to, even if it's a veteran like Rodgers, big name, or a Russell Wilson, or Justin Fields, or Sam, whoever it is, and some of those moves then can take you out of a quarterback in the draft, you need to then cover your ass, because if not, are you Tommy DeVito's the only quarterback on the roster right now. You'd be screwed if free agency right happens. And you go, you know, we'll get one in the draft, right? Imagine if the Giants do that. Yeah, we'll get a quarterback in the draft. Don't worry about it. All right, Rodgers, no. Justin Fields, no. Sam Darnold, no. Russell Wilson, no. We don't need any of those guys. We'll get one in the draft. Then imagine quarterbacks go 1-2. Or someone else jumps the Giants, and then they can't pull off a deal to go trade for a quarterback, right? So that's why I think there's a good chance a deal for the number one overall pick, if Tennessee's going to trade it, can happen within a week. But if it doesn't, the Giants tried for Stafford, they got rejected. So if you tried for Stafford, I then do think that they would put a full court press for Aaron Rodgers. But what could eliminate Aaron Rodgers to the Giants would be if you go trade up to the number one pick and then you could just start Cam Ward from day one. And also, if the Giants do bring in Rodgers, they could still draft a quarterback at three and then you have Shador sit for a year if Shador is going to be the guy. I'm going to say, though, that it's the Steelers for Rodgers. And maybe it's more so hoping. But the Giants are desperate. There's no doubt about it. And the Steelers have kind of been like, who cares, ever since Big Ben retired at the quarterback position. We'll do a little onside, offside next. It is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb.
All righty, onside, offside time. Stu, fire away. What do we got cooking?
All right, after weeks of speculation, the Rams and Matthew Stafford agreed to an extension that would keep the Super Bowl champ in Los Angeles. The deal reportedly didn't add any extra years to Stafford's remaining deal, but apparently gave him a, quote, significant raise. Onsides, offsides, you consider the Rams a top three team in the NFC now that Stafford is returning.
So they're not better than the Eagles. I would still say they're not better than the Lions. The other team that you have to consider are the Commanders. Outside of that, I think the Rams are better than the Vikings. I think the Rams are better than the Packers. I think the Rams are better than the Bears. I think the Rams are better than the Bucks. And then the 49ers on their bounce back. I think since the Niners missed the playoffs last year, people will rank the Rams in front of them heading into this year. So really this convo to me, though, is between the Rams, the Niners, and then also the Commanders. And I'm going to say, just because there could be a little regression with the Commanders, not knowing how much there will be improvement, but how much improvement there will be from the 49ers. Yeah, the Rams are still a top three team to me in the NFC. I would rank them in this order. Eagles 1, Lions 2, Rams in at number three. So you consider the Rams the top team in the NFC now that Stafford is returning. Onside, if he was not returning, they would be all the way down that list. That would be tough to find them. Even though they have a good roster, I'd be very disappointed because I wouldn't trust their plan at the quarterback position. All righty, number two.
Now that Stafford is off of the board, the Giants are left searching for a quarterback and have none under contract as of right now. Now, some reports have linked Aaron Rodgers to the Giants.
As the G-men, as Chris Berman would say.
As he's already in the area playing with the Jets, but others believe that Big Blue might trade up with the Titans at number one to draft Cam Ward. Onside, offsides, the Giants are better off trading up to number one than signing Rodgers.
Onsides, and here's why. They're only coming up from three. So Connor Hughes had this report over the weekend that one NFL general manager, not with Tennessee, not with the Giants, told him that the price probably to move up from three to one would be Tennessee falling back to three, right? The Giants moving up to one. You swap the first round picks, duh. And then probably only two additional third round picks. And if there becomes a bidding war, then it may turn into, okay, instead of two threes, you give a three and then a two to really get the ball over the goal line. So would I rather sign Aaron Rodgers where a year from now you're in the same situation where you need to probably figure out who your quarterback's going to be, or swap ones and then only have to probably give up two future third round picks and you could potentially get your franchise quarterback of the future in Cam Ward? Yeah, I'd rather do that than bring in an old man Rodgers. So the Giants are better off trading up to number one than signing Aaron Rodgers. Yes, because it's not that steep of a climb to get from three to one, so I will go on sides.
The combine is over, and one quarterback is getting panned for his performance. National champion winner Will Howard out of Ohio State was erratic all day long, missing pass after pass and overthrowing multiple receivers. Now, Shedeur Sanders came to his defense, tweeting, quote, "I don't understand y'all hating on Will Howard. He just won a natty. It's hard to throw to receivers that you don't know. Everyone runs routes different," end of quote. Onside, offsides, Howard's stock should drop after his combine performance.
This is maybe rude of me. Where is the stock to begin with? I'm sorry. I never viewed him as a first-round quarterback. I never felt comfortable as a second-round, maybe at earliest a third-round quarterback. So when you say, should his stock drop, I think it's like plummets, right? I don't even know what his stock would have been before this. And I follow a ton of college football in the NFL draft. And I think even three would be way, 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 way too generous of me. So he was, I probably viewed this guy as a fifth round quarterback before the combine. So after the combine, do I go, oh my goodness gracious, now he's going to be undrafted? No. So Howard stock should drop after his combine performance. I don't get how it could drop if there really wasn't any stock to begin with. So I will go offside.
Offside.
Diana Russini is a little upset that MVP voting was made public without her knowledge. Russini voted Lamar first and Josh Allen second, but says that she received angry phone calls and texts once her vote was made public.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Terrible.
Onsides, offsides, all award votes should be made public.
Yeah, I don't understand why people freak out about this. I saw Rob Maddie at the Super Bowl, and he is, I guess, the guy that runs this for the Associated Press. And he's covered the NFL for a long time. He's like, oh, yeah, we got a lot of blowback from reporters. They were annoyed their votes were made public. And I go, did you tell him? He goes, we sent emails out about it. So maybe just people didn't read their emails or they just never got them. You know, it's like Shep's email to the Lakers for LeBron James. I guess it just was never received. But all award votes should be made. Absolutely. And I'm not saying that Diana Russini, right, I can't take a little criticism, but if you don't want your award out there, you got to have thick skin here. So then don't vote for it. For example, I could keep my Heisman vote private if I want. They just asked, do not reveal it until the award is announced. I always reveal it right afterwards. And I had Ashton Jenty won this year. And people were like, oh, how did you not vote private? If you don't like it, tough. It's my vote. So, yeah, can it get nasty? Can there be some vitriol? Sure, but that's every day on social media. So all award votes should be made public? Absolutely. On sides. I want to know who are the dopey reporter, right, that doesn't vote Ken Griffey Jr. unanimous for the Hall of Fame or Ichiro when it's happened. And I also want to know how people vote for these awards. And if you can't take it, then don't vote for the award. It's that simple. So, yes, all awards should be made public on Sides.
The Suns are 28-33 and 4 games out of the 10th.
What a waste, by the way.
Final play-in spot.
You know, they haven't got shredded enough, if I'm being honest. Because there's so much drama with the Suns. We never talk about the fact that they just suck. And that this is a failed experiment. But continue. Sorry, Stu.
No, they've been pretty bad, and they got blown out last night to the Timberwolves. After the game, Kevin Durant, well, he was not very happy.
Yeah, it's tough, man.
Is he ever?
Game, man. We didn't play our standards, up to our standards at all. We embarrassed the fans. We embarrassed ourselves the way we played. I want us to be better.
And last week, KD told Draymond why he reportedly vetoed a trade at the deadline that would have moved him back to the Warriors.
I want my career to end on my terms. That's the only thing.
Oh, but
as far as the Warriors,
it.
I didn't want to move. And then as a player like me, I cost a lot. Me going into your team in the middle of the season, it's going to be a big blow to any team
them.
I'm going to. I get why y'all want to trade me. Simple fact, that's just business. But for me looking at it, I'm just like, it just don't make sense for either side right now to go through that when we just play the season out. And if that's the decision you want to make in the offseason, then you figure it out. If I can't stop it, then why not? And then the narratives that's going to come with all that shit. I mean, I could play under the noise. It's a simple fact that like, I didn't feel like it was a need to make that big of a change.
Now Shams reports that KD and the Suns will work together on an offseason trade to a contender. Onside to Offsides, KD's best option next year is to return to the Warriors.
I said this a year ago. Yes, it's his best option. But that ship could have already sailed because now they have Jimmy Butler. But the reason why Durant wouldn't accept that is because you would have Charles Barkley getting on inside the NBA on TNT and saying, see, he's a bus rider, not a bus driver. And he had to crawl back to the Golden State Warriors. And KD should just tell everyone to go bleep off. But he can't. That's why he's not on the Warriors. So, yes. The best option next year is to rejoin the Warriors. You know what? Is it the best option? I would like to see it. I'm going to actually say it's not the best option. Because he could go to a team like the Rockets. He could go to a team. Maybe. Hey, we're talking about a Warriors union. What about OKC? I saw Stephen A. threw that out there. I just don't know the shelf life of this Warriors squad anymore. Because they're getting up there in age. But would I like to see Steph and KD back together? I almost said Steph and Clay. But would I like to see Steph and KD back together? Yes. Is it his best option? A year ago at the deadline, yes. I don't know at the end of the season, though. So I will actually go offside.
Offside.
All right. Last one. After last year's offseason hard knocks debacle where the Giants were embarrassed by their failed dealings with Saquon Barkley, no NFL team wanted to be featured on the show this year. So the NFL went outside the box and will now follow NFL GOAT head coach Bill Belichick in his first season at North Carolina. Onside Offsides, Hard Knocks following Belichick in UNC is more interesting than any NFL team that they could have picked.
I'm going to say Onside, and here's why. I think his girlfriend is actually going to make him be more personable on this show. And, right, Bill in the NFL would have been a non-watch because he would give nothing. Maybe he'll give a little bit more in college. So Hard Knocks following Belichick and UNC is more interesting than any NFL team they could have picked. Onside. Real quickly, Stu, just keep the music going. Give me the last question because I feel like my opinion here could be controversial on this.
Ooh,
one.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So it happened. Nobody thought it would, but it did. John Cena, he turned heel.
The fan. Everyone's freaking out about this on social media. I didn't watch, but everyone's tweeting about this. It's nuts.
So the fan favorite good guy shocked the wrestling world when he joined forces with The Rock and surprise attacked WWE champ Cody Rhodes.
Pete Bellotti's probably crying on line one.
Causing fans.
Let's get Taz on the show. Welcome him back to the network.
Causing fans on social media to lose their minds, like you said. Onside, offsides, moments like this could get you back to being a WWE fan again.
I know Cena's on like a year-long, I think, retirement tour. I love John Cena as a kid. I met him once, was my favorite wrestler. Maybe I'll tune in one time during this entire tour whenever the last match is. I don't know what it is, so don't get upset with me for not knowing that. But becoming a WWE fan and watching it religiously, no. And like everyone's freaking out over this. Oh, I can't believe it happened. to me, I get it. It's a script, right? You're a fan of it. I'm like, I like reality TV. There's things that wrestling fans can like. I'm not going to sit here and laugh at you. I used to be a wrestling fan when I was 12 or 13. But I will say, the one thing I find funny is when I hosted a week of shows with Taz, and I guess Mraz and Taz got into it over Mraz saying wrestling is fake, and they told me don't bring up Mraz to Taz. That's very confusing, Mraz and Taz. And I did anyway. And Taz goes, I actually respect that you brought it up. But I guess there was bad beef with them, and now I find it funny on social media that Mraz has become like a big wrestling fan. He was dressed up as a wrestler a few weeks ago, watching whatever the big pay-per-view was. So a little fraud alert there by our boy Shawnee. Mraz, maybe we could have him tag up and turn heel with Taz. But moments like this can get you back to being a big WWE fan again. No. Last time I was a big WWE fan was 13. I remember when I was a youngster when John Cena beat JBL at WrestleMania. That was awesome. But am I going to sit here and watch? I'll watch one maybe match of John Cena before he retires. But watching like I'm still like Pete Bellotti like 24-7, no. That's not going to happen. All righty. It is Zach Gelb on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll give you one loser, one winner from the NFL Draft or for the NFL Combine. When we come on back, update time first. Here is the Ackman, Rich Ackerman. All righty, it's time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Bella B in Calgary says, hi, Zach. Have you ever gone to an NHL game outdoors? Thanks, Bella B in Calgary, hashtag Ask the Pros at INS Sports. Then you can submit a question by tweeting at INS Sports and or at Zach Gelb using the hashtag Ask the Pros, just like Bella B did. And you could thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. I've never been to an outdoor NHL game. I don't know how the sight lines would be. And sometimes I think that gets a little bit difficult. I know Stu has. I think it's more for the environment. Yes. I don't know if it's actually enjoyable to watch the game there.
Yeah, it's a weird view. Like the view of a regular hockey game, you can see everything from almost every seat, I feel like. But we went to Devils Flyers last year at MetLife, and we were down kind of low, which you would think is good, but you kind of miss like half of the action.
I think it's like football. You got to be a little bit higher up,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and plus it was like 10 degrees out, so it was tough.
I'm going to the Garden tonight for Rangers Islanders, and I actually got asked to go to the Panthers game on Thursday when I was in Florida. I couldn't make it. It was Panthers Oilers, which would have been awesome. I've seen McDavid in person, though, when I was at the Super Bowl. Vegas played the Oilers, so that was pretty cool. But I just saw a few moments ago that the Panthers, Matthew Tkachuk, right, who got injured during the Four Nations, will miss the remainder of the regular season with the groin injury. The team confirmed today he has missed four games since sustaining that injury during the Four Nations faceoff. So he'll come back for the postseason, I would assume, and the Panthers have a chance to go back-to-back as Stanley Cup champion. So we'll have to monitor that and see when he actually does return, but he will miss the remainder of the regular season. All righty, before we get on out of here, let's go around the room. One winner, one loser from the NFL Combine. Let's start with the winner, Stu. We'll start off on a positive note with you.
All right, South Carolina safety Nick Emanwori. He's a guy that's
good pronunciation.
He's kind of been in the first round a lot, I've seen, and he had a really good weekend. He measured out at 6'3", a 43-inch vertical jump, and a 4.38 40-yard dash. So
I always find the measurements funny. He measured out there like as if he grew or shrunk in the last 2 months.
Well, you got to have the official ones, and I guess these are the official ones. So, yeah, just what he did, I've seen him close to the top 10 in some mock drafts, too.
Samter, who's your winner from the NFL Combine?
It's my boy Jalen Milroe,
ooh,
who somehow his hand grew more than half an inch from the Senior Bowl to the Combine.
Maybe the people just didn't measure correctly the
his
first
hand
time.
Size was 8 3/4 inches at the Senior Bowl, which was very small, and then it grew to 9 3/8 inches and apparently did well in interviews. We heard Vic Tafer earlier say he outperformed Shador in a lot of those interviews.
You know what? I need to call into question the integrity of Jim Nagy's Senior Bowl. I saw he was just named the new GM of the Oklahoma Sooners, so maybe he had 1 foot in, 1 foot out. I like Jim, but if we're messing up the hand measurements at the Senior Bowl, and then all of a sudden the hands are growing from the Senior Bowl to the NFL Combine, please give me a break. You know, like, well, what, did Milroe grow out his fingernails? Is that what he did? What are we doing here? My winner is Matthew Golden, who played at Houston, and then this past year just played for the Texas Longhorns, 58 receptions, 987 yards, and 9 touchdowns, but what's the way to rise up draft boards at the combine? Well, you run a ridiculous 40 time, and he had the fastest 40 time, not as quick as Xavier Worthy last year, another Texas wide receiver, but he had the fastest 40 time for a wide receiver this year at 4.29. So Matthew Golden is my winner. Let's do losers. Stu, we start off with you. I'm not calling you a loser. I'm just asking, who is your combine loser?
Yeah, I hate to do this, but Will Campbell from LSU.
The short arms?
Robert Gallery Jr., some might call him.
Oh, stop it. He could be a Patriot. I don't want to hear that nonsense.
The shortest wingspan of any tackle prospect since the 2011 draft. 32 5/8-inch arms. The wingspan was only 77 3/8 inches. That worries me. That sounds like Robert Gallery, a guy you're going to have to move to guard at some point. I don't know if that's a top 5 pick.
So Chris in California defended Kenny Pickett because of the small hands. Maybe he will start to defend Will Campbell because of the short little alligator arms. You know, if that's the case, come on, what are we doing here? No one ever questioned that arm size or like freaked out about the arm size when he played at LSU. Now it's a whole big thing. I've been seeing that the last few weeks. Samter, who's your loser?
I'm going to go with the teammate of your winner, Isaiah Bond, who before he ran the 40 says, I'm going to break the 40 record tomorrow. I'm feeling great. I might run a 4.1. He ran a 4.39. He didn't even get close.
Terrible. No, travesty.
If you're going to claim that you're going to break the record of 4.21 and then you run a 4.39 and then your teammate beats you and runs a faster 40 than you, you lose.
At the Heisman Trophy ceremony, I thought there was a chance that Dylan Gabriel could be the third quarterback off the draft board. And Dan Orlovsky agreed with me. He thought he could be a first round pick. I haven't seen anything really positive about Dylan Gabriel in this draft process. Jackson Dart, who did not play all that great this year, especially against Kentucky and Florida. Now he's being talked about as a first round pick. Tyler Shuck is even rising up the draft board. Oh, shucks. And where the heck is Dylan Gabriel? I read a ranking today. I had him like the 8th or 9th quarterback here. Jalen Milroe, positive things being said about him, but nothing on Dylan Gabriel. So therefore he is my loser of this whole process. Alrighty, fun show today. Big thanks to Michael Chandler. Big thanks to Lindsey Rhodes. Stu, Samter, give you a grand each if we get LeBron James on this show. All right? If you just got into your car, you have no clue what the heck I'm talking about. Anyway, we'll talk to you tomorrow, everybody. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.